Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study in Luke chapter 1, verses 35 through 38, titled The Humility and Example of Mary. This is part 2 of 2. We can enter into His presence. We don't need a pope or a father so-and-so or anybody in between us and God. You don't have to pay for your miracles. You don't have to get a holy cloth or bottled water that is sold by these guys or any of that stuff for your miracle. Luke 1:37 explains miracles. Read that with me. For with God nothing shall be impossible. We believe in God, therefore we do believe in miracles. And I believe I've experienced miracles. I want to find out, for example, in 1999, I think it was March of 1999, I had my arms around three little girls as an F4 tornado was bearing down on us. And according to the news reports the next day, they don't really know why it kind of hovered and landed in Evansdale, I think is the name of the little neighborhood it landed in. And those people had enough warning, they got into their basements. If it had landed just before Evansdale, it would have landed right on top of us in a trailer.
Wow.
We'd have been dead. And it was one of those, everything was shaking. The noise was so loud, I was screaming at the top of my lungs to get the girls. They couldn't even hear me. I had to physically grab each of the girls. They couldn't even hear me. I was yelling at the top of my lungs, and I couldn't even hear myself. That's how loud that thing was. Coming down, and just went over top of us. I want to know if maybe an angel went and let it land. No, and those people were ready. You know? They lost some property, but they didn't lose life. Yeah, we'll see. But there's other things in my life I believe is miraculous. And we just need God. You want your miracle today? Today is your day. If you want your miracle, what do? Have faith in God.
Amen.
Faith in God removes all doubt and fear. Mary is being approached here by an angel, the angel Gabriel, and God, I believe, has to give her and go back to Daniel when Gabriel showed up. About 600 years earlier. God, I believe, has to give you the ability to even stand in their presence. Steady your nerves and allow you to think clearly when you're even talking to an angel. And that then enabled Mary to demonstrate her faith. And some of the criticisms I've heard over the years of people when they read the Bible, they say, well, people talk to angels and they don't seem to be shaken up. I said, you got to go back and read some of those accounts. They fall flat on their face, you know, and shaking and all that kind of thing. I'm pretty sure if an angel showed up in my presence, I'd hit the floor. You know, I don't know that I'd be able to stand right there. But I think that He also gives you the grace, if that ever occurs to anybody in Scripture, it's going to occur to people definitely during the tribulation period. But how many of you have heard the following verse in James used to claim that answered prayer relies on your faith? Now this is something else. James 5:5, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so they'll teach that it's like some buildup of amount of faith. And if you don't have enough faith, then your prayers won't be answered. But if you do have enough faith, then you'll be able to cause answered prayer. When Jesus said if you had faith of a mustard seed,
Amen.
The smallest seed known to man at that time, and now man's called other things, smaller seed, but at that time, if you ask anybody on the planet the smallest seed, they would have told you it was the mustard seed. So I think that a lot of this stuff, you know, it's like calling dragons dinosaurs. It's one of those sort of things. Something you put on the end of your pinky, little tiny speck. Faith that size. Why? Because it's not based on your amount of faith. That's why it only takes the size of a mustard seed to move mountains, as Jesus said. Why? Because it's not that. It's a misinterpretation of a false teaching that people have really cursed people for years. I've gone to visit people in hospitals who think the only reason they're laying there in bed dying is because they don't have enough faith. And I never forget going to a house where this couple had given TBN a monthly gift for years. And they had all the little trinkets that TBN would give them. And they had a boy in a hospital bed dying of brain cancer. And he was beyond the point of even being able to communicate. So I went and I talked with him and I prayed with him. But they got up there next to me and they wanted me to lay some big prayer down that was going to heal their son. And I just had to explain to him. I said, you know, I pray biblically, and that biblical prayer is Mary's attitude that God's will be done. It's appointed unto men once to die. And unless you go in the rapture, you're going to die no matter how much you try not to. You try to conjure up a level of faith. All these faith healers, Oral Roberts, for example, used to teach that if you had enough faith, there's no reason you'd have to die. Oral's dead. Every person who taught that lie has died. Christian and non-Christians teach that, by the way. And they're all dead. And if there's anybody teaching it now, and the Lord tarries long enough, they'll die. Why? Because your faith cannot negate God's truth. And God said, it's appointed unto man wants to die. For by one man sin, death passed upon all men. No matter how much faith you think you have, you're going to die. But, so what's the prayer of faith? I think it's expressed in verse 38 in Luke 1. Read it. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is, God, you are God. I believe your word. I trust you. Your will be done. That's the prayer of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. A prayer of faith is a prayer that is in accordance with God's word. And so if you just conjure up, Doug likes to say he prayed with some people and all, with all the casting. What are you casting and binding and all that? You thought they were going fishing.
Yeah, those people said they're doing that casting and binding in Jesus' name. I thought it was they were going to a Bass Pro Shop.
Yeah. And that's what I said earlier, that you know it causes people to not even want. We have people who will come and work on our house, and they find out I'm a pastor, and there's always one in the group, the crew, who wants to be super spiritual, and they'll either tell stories or want to pray with me, and it's always these prayers like this, or these stories. You know, one guy's talking about, oh, I was in a wreck and almost killed me, and I saw an angel, and he showed up and he kept me. And I'm not going to look at a guy and say, yeah, you're a liar. You know, we'll get to heaven if he's a true believer and everything, and we'll find out. But I don't believe you see angels show up and do those things. But I do believe angels do those things. I just don't think they all of a sudden show up visibly to you when they do it. Like I said, the tornado, you know, like hold it for a few, let it drop. I think an angel could do that. But if I started telling everybody, oh, we were all in the trailer and I had my arms around my girls and I looked out the window and I saw a 500-foot angel and he went like this and he held the tornado to Atlanta and landed in Evansdale. Now, I could have sold books and been on all the TV shows, but I'd been full of it. I'd been a liar and a crook stealing people's money writing those books. And we told the story. the boy up north in was Bell Fountain, you know, and he was encouraged to come up with these stories, and they sold tons of books. And then when he grew up, his conscience got the better of him, and he told people it didn't happen. These stories about him going to heaven and coming back and all that. You know, Mary's an example of our attitude, what our attitude should be with God at all times, but in prayer. As she says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." I've been at a deathbed when a lady prayed that. And she died. But one of her last prayers, verbally, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Boy, that'd be some wonderful last words for any Christian. And these aren't Mary's last words, but I believe she went out with that same attitude. We have no evidence otherwise. She didn't demand or declare a miracle. And, you know, I've had well-meaning people, they say they want to pray with me, and I pray, and it doesn't sound anything like the TV preachers tell you to pray. I talk to the Lord with respect, but I talk to Him the way I would talk to Him as a person. I don't, you know, get loud and start using 3 and 4 syllable words and, you know, all that kind of thing. I say, "Lord, I thank you for your blessings, and if there's something we want to pray about, lift that up to me." And then I've just had this happen so many times, and now the other person will pray, and they'll say, "And Lord, we just declare today that over this home and over this church, your blessings will fall and rain upon them, and they will see multitudes saved and multitudes healed and multitudes delivered and multitudes blessed." And then they go on about all this stuff. "I declare and I decree and Nothing happens. They go to churches where everybody in the church prays like that. There's nothing. Nothing happens. Why? Because it's according to God's will. And declaring and decreeing, you're just like, you know, it's comparable to when Stephen tells Gloria, you know, when she wants to play with his power tools, and he says, "No, honey, you can't play with that." And she starts throwing a little fit. "I don't want to play with it." She's a normal kid. I'm sure she's done that. I haven't seen her do that, but she will if she hadn't already. And Stephen, it's according to his will whether his daughter's going to play with his power tools. And for her sake, what's he say? Play with it. He says no. No, Gloria, no. And why does he do that? Because, number one, he loves her. Number two, he has a lot more information about those power tools than she does. She doesn't realize, plug it in, off comes her arm. See? Stephen knows these things. He understands these things. That's how God is with us. So you're sitting down there declaring and decreeing and all this stuff. Listen, there are churches today who decided that they were going to be all about having big numbers and packed houses and everything, and now they're unrecognizable as a church. They've lost their purpose. They've lost their message. They were better off not having those things come true. And if they left it up to God, I'm sure it wouldn't have happened. So Mary's example is the same as that of Jesus, her virgin-born son. She is carrying Jesus in her womb at the time of what we're reading. And at that very moment, she is being an example of Jesus. She is being an example of Christ. We're going to see it. Let's turn over there to Matthew 6. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray. Jesus never preached about, when they said, "Teach us to pray," He said, "Well, first of all, plant your seed faith offering. Give it to Judas over here, who's the keeper of the bag. And as you pray, pray with faith, believing. And pronounce and decree." I mean, how ridiculous is that? We don't know enough to decree anything. We don't know enough to declare anything. We're dumb. I know that sounds like I'm insulting you. I'm one of you. We're ignorant. We don't have enough information. It's just ridiculous for us to demand anything out of God. We're talking to the omniscient, omnipotent God. We should simply say, God, you're seeing it all. You know it all. You do what's best. I mean, if you're going to make a TV show about God, it would be called Father Knows Best. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you old enough to know what that's just referring to. Matthew 6, 9 and 10, he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now read verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You can stop there for the purposes of this study. You've seen enough. What did he say? Pray thy will be done. Jesus did not teach his disciples to demand anything, to declare and decree anything. Look over, just say this in light before I go there. Mary said it that way. Be it unto me according to thy word. See how that matches? Mary's attitude is exactly what that baby she's carrying, when he's born, grows up in his 30s, is going to teach exactly what Mary just said in verse 38. Isn't that great? Matthew 26. We'll skip from the beginning of his ministry all the way to right before he goes to the cross. Matthew 26 and verse 42. See there, reading that with me. Verse 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And over, Jesus, in between those two passages we read, over and over, Jesus constantly saying, I have come to do the will of my Father.
Amen.
Thy will be done. God is not impressed with your fancy declarations. He's not impressed with your vocabulary. He's not impressed by the fact that you say words with more than three or four syllables. What God's impressed with is having the same humble attitude that we're seeing from Mary in verse 38. That impresses God.
Amen.
It's sad because God is not impressed with these people who are chest thumpers, who have impressed themselves with how much faith they have. God's not impressed with that. God's impressed with humility. That's why He chose Mary. He saw humility. Moses. Moses was not an ambulance-chasing lawyer. And Moses wasn't out there to get his name in lights. And God saw that humility. And a lot of preachers like to point out all of Moses' mess-ups. He messed up a few times because he wasn't the Savior. But if God had chosen someone who was less humble, He would have seen a lot more mess-ups, a lot worse things happen. Same with King David. So the prayer of faith is one accepting God's will, not prayer demanding our own.
Amen.
I hope you can get that because there's so much false teaching out there and it ruins prayer lives. The prayer of faith is when you pray accepting God's will. Just like, for example, Janie's job. You'll hear, I hope, every time. Any of you ask for a job or you're wanting to buy a house or thinking about buying a car or, whatever. We always pray, Lord, if this is Your will and something You know is good for them, then we ask it. But if for some reason God knows that Menards is not the place for you, Smack it down.
Amen.
And that's the prayer of faith. It's trusting that God has your best.
Amen.
He's got your back.
Amen.
And your front. So Mary demanded nothing. She simply submitted herself to God's will. That's humility. And that's our example. And Mary's humility is an amazing example for us all, not just the women. And there's nothing wrong, though, with teaching to young ladies. You're looking for biblical examples. Mary's a good one. There are others. But we're going to close by looking at this passage in Philippians. We're going to look at a couple of places here in Philippians. How that Mary exemplified the mind of Christ. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, chapter 2. Mary exemplified the mind of Christ. And we're told in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." It says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now read verses 7 and 8 with me. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Humility. Jesus, even coming as a man to die on the cross, was the single most humble act to ever take place on planet Earth. God, it says in verse 6, being in the form of God, He came as that little baby. I hope that's what you do. From now on, if you hadn't already, when you hold a little baby, you see a woman who's pregnant, about to give birth, just think about the fact that God took that form. All so that He could grow up and die on the cross. Look at verses 9 through 11. What's the result? "Wherefore," read it with me, "wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So Jesus humbled Himself, submitted Himself to the will of God, and the way human beings would look at it, say, "Yeah, a lot of good that got Him. Beat Him. Put a crown of thorns on His head, crushed onto His skull, nailed to a cross, after they spit on Him and mocked Him. He died an excruciating death. Asphyxiation." Yes. But that wasn't the end of the story, see? And that's why when you and I, we humbly submit to God's will in our lives, it's not the end of your story. Even though it's appointed unto men once to die, it's not the end of your story. Those who will repent toward God and humble themselves by faith in that gospel message of His grace, how that Christ died for sins, and they was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, we will share in His eternal glory. Jesus humbly submitting to the cross puts Him as the glorified one. That's why we say Jesus is the only way. We don't hate Muslims. We don't hate Buddhists. We don't hate anybody. But Buddha died, and if he believed what he believed, he went to hell. Buddhism is false religion. Islam is false religion. Anything that doesn't point you to Jesus Christ is false religion, because only Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. Only Jesus was sinless and able to die for your sins on the cross. And only Jesus rose from the dead. So no one else can save you. But if you will be saved, then like Mary, Mary shares in the promise with all of us, sinners saved by grace. Look at Philippians 3. We're right there. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Just as Jesus is glorified, then those of us in Christ, look at verse 20 and 21, read it. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Now, I'm not telling the men to look at their wives and she says, how's this look? And you look at them, don't say vile. But the truth is, compared to the glory we are set for by faith in Christ, we're all vile this morning. And one of these days, we're going to see what we look like in a glorified state. And if we have a full memory of it, I'm not saying we get amnesia, but I think when we're in His glory, I just don't think we're going to care to even think about this stuff. We're not going to even want to think about what it was like to have back pain, to have COPD, to have to go to work and drive a truck all the time. You know, to do all these things we have to do. We're in His glory. If we give it a thought, we're going to think, wow, we were in a vile state. Why? Because it says, our body will be fashioned like unto His glorious body. So when you think of what Jesus is going to be like, that's what you're going to be like. You and I will never be eternal in the sense we had a beginning. But like Him, we will have no end. Amen. We can never say we were sinless, but we will be sinless. Amen. And for eternity. Amen. We complain about sickness and death now, but this coming day there will be no sickness. No death. But it starts with humility. It starts with your willingness to humble yourself before God and not just admit you're a sinner, which a lot of people are preaching and that's all they say. It's to admit you're a sinner and repent. Just to recognize I'm a sinner on the wrong direction, on the wrong path. I must turn. Repenting toward God. Amen. With faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is an act that only a humble person submitting to God's will do. That's why there's so many unsaved people around us. I mean, they've come up with the right word for these parades every June. Pride. Pride in flesh. Pride in sin. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. What's the opposite of haughty? Haughty, H-A-U-G-H-T-Y. What's the opposite? Humility.
The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance on thee, and give thee peace. The Lord bless thee,
the Lord bless thee,
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face shine upon thee.